Alma chapter 21. In this, in the beginning of this chapter, we learn about the account of Aaron and what he was doing during the time that we had the learned of Amma among the people of Lamoni. And the thing here is that this is only an extremely short account, so we know that the Lord was a special point. Usually when we have these short accounts, the person might want to say, oh, the Lord just wanted to update us. Well, he wanted to update, he could have told us about all the other sons of Mosiah and everybody else. But he only wants to also include a small section here on Aaron, so there must be a extremely important point here, and there is, and we'll get to that. Well, it begins in verses 1 through 4 to say what Aaron did, and what it said that when Aaron left, he went among the Amalekites and the Amulonites, who were all descenders from the Nephites, and that they were after the order of Nehor. And it said that they had built churches and believed in God. And so, therefore, we have to kind of analyze this situation and say that they were among the Lamanites. And so we see that the problem or the hate of the Lamanites is passed on by the tradition of their fathers, but their real hate or their real motivation is from Satan against Jesus Christ. It's not really against Nephites, because they had all the dissenters. They'd been mixing for years, and it really wasn't exactly like we like to regularly think that it's just the descendants of Nephi. No, it's the worship of Jesus Christ. And notice that it says also that these dissenters were harder than the Lamanites. Now again, they had churches and they worshiped God. But just because they did all this and they thought themselves to be good people and everything, they were actually harder to God. And why? Because again, it was their worship of man. They wanted men to be in charge. And so by looking harder at men in the face of a knowledge of God and looking to God, they were actually harder against the true gospel of Jesus Christ, because they had to reject it, even though they claimed to know something of God. It does also say that they believe that God would save all men, but notice that they hate the Nephites and want to kill them. And so obviously in their heart, they believe that then they must believe that God didn't love the Nephites, because they don't. They want to kill them. And this is the big contradiction of anyone of the Nehors, which is a lot of the contradiction of the born-again creeds of today, is which then becomes and also is the contradiction of the Mormon church in its belief that they're the chosen people. It has this idea that God does not love the other people, and that because you just have to be a member of their church, because you're born again, that this is all that's important, is these little token of baptism or a token of saying that you're born again. But now God hates all the other ones, going to have endless punishment for them. And see, there's a tremendous hate involved in there, and it's a great contradiction of religion. And that's what this is what the sects of Nehor had. They at one point they're at one side they're hating the Nephites, and on the other side they're saying, well, God loves everyone and he's gonna save all men, and that's the contradiction. Anyway, Aaron and his brethren go amongst them to preach. Now the important thing is that it's an important thing said here is that they preach in their synagogues. Meaning that again, even though these dissenters hated the Nephites, they still believed in free speech, and they still had free forums. Again, we don't have that today. You'd never see the other churches of the land do not allow the Mormon missionary to go in and preach their thing to them. But we can't. Sometimes they allow them to do that. But you'd never, ever allow the Mormons to allow anybody else to have a forum in their church. And so who are the greater controllers of the word and so forth? Well, it's the Mormon Church, the most dominant and controlling of all religions, and do not believe in free speech, do not believe in giving its people free choice or letting it see see the doctrines of the world so that they can make their choice. They have no forum, yet their church is closed three or four nights a week. But they keep it closed because they don't really want to have free choice, free flow of information. They think they want to, their words are, they want to protect their members. It's not just the Mormon church. All the other churches, their ministers all think how they need to protect their members. Again, they believe that they're the shepherd. And we know that's not true. And when they do this, they think themselves to replace the Lord. And so therefore they become false gods. And not only when they do that, they believe in force and control, which means that they are using the tools of Satan. But here in the scripture we see clearly even the wicked people said, well, we'll open up our church one night a week or whenever you need so that you can at least come and present your views, because we believe in our views and we believe our people will follow ours, or that we can, as they show here, we can ask you questions and show that you're wrong. But if you want to come, we'll let you come and speak to our people. But again, we don't have that today. Well, we learned that the way that that Aaron and the others were preaching was they liked to tell the story of Alma and the story of the angel coming to him. Well, this came with power, and it came by the Spirit, and it was something that could not be contradicted by them. And so in order to overcome this truth, and they knew that it came in truth, in order to overcome that, this is the key portion of this chapter. It then tells us again, how can the devil override truth? And so we learn here, after they told of the angel, then one of the Amalekites gets up and he says, what is that thou hast testified? Hast thou seen an angel? Why do not angels appear unto us? Behold, are not this people as good as thy people? Now feel that. What is he doing? See, he's building the pride up of these people. He's saying, we worship the God. We do everything. We do good works. We believe in all this, in all these things. Why aren't we, why did these guys get angels and not us? Aren't we worthy of getting angels? See, he's really building up that pride. And we can see that is how truth is overcome, by pride. Why, we're the church of God. We have a prophet. We have the structure that they used to have. We send out missionaries. We do all these things. We're a great people. Oh, we hear that so much today, we can't believe it. That's the call. It's a call, the same call as the dissenters. They use pride so that they don't have to listen to truth, and they don't have to study the Book of Mormon, and we don't have to learn the truth of God. All we do is we live in our pride of our wonderful churches that we have built, just as the Amalekites here say they did. And they then accuse Aaron, and they say in verse 6, how knowest thou that we are not a righteous people? We built sanctuaries, and we do assemble ourselves together to worship God. That's all we talk about today, is all the churches we have built. And what right does anybody have to come and tell us we're not a righteous people? Well, he's not there exactly to judge them. He's there to deliver the word of God. So therefore, what does he do? How does he answer them in this trick? See, that's the devil's trick, tactic here. Run it back through that. Push it down throat. Make them look like they're the bad guy. Put them on the defensive. You know, notice that these men did not all of a sudden start talking about their gospel and explain that. He included in there one sentence that explained it, but mostly his discussion is pumping up the people, pumping up their pride, saying how good they are. Isn't that what we heard at General Conference last time? How good the people are and how all the churches we're building. And that's what was wanting to be preached. Now what was being preached was that we're not coming unto Christ, we're not repenting, and that's what Aaron goes and then preaches to them. He starts preaching to them of Christ. And he preaches of Christ coming, and if you don't come unto Christ, then you're not righteous. And no, they're not righteous. But he doesn't exactly point. He explains to them of Christ. He says, that is the definition of righteous, coming unto the Lord and doing what the Lord wants and studying the Lord and centering your life on the Lord. And he talks about Jesus Christ here to them. And they don't want to hear that. Just as today, they don't want to hear. They want to hear how wonderful their church is and all these wonderful things they do in it and how great a people they are. They don't want to hear about coming unto Christ. No one wants to hear about coming to Christ. They want to hear about doing their own thing. As the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is exactly like the Church of the Amalekites. It has exactly the same feeling and the same pride and the same idea. It does not teach and does not want to come unto Christ. And when he began to say this, and just as the Mormons in the world hear someone say, oh, you don't believe in Christ, or you don't, and when it says believe, it doesn't believe in the existence of Christ. It means they believe in following Christ and coming unto Christ. When they hear something like that, they become angry, just like that. Instead of saying, well, how is it that we don't come unto Christ? Explain that to us. How can I know better how I can gain a better relationship with the Lord? Teach me whatever it is, and even if you're wrong, maybe I can see something. That's what righteous people do. They're always searching for ways to come unto the Lord and learn more of the Lord. But now these people are angry, just like the people of day are angry when you start talking about the Lord and how people aren't following the Lord. So they begin to mock him, and they push him out, and they throw him out from amongst them. They start to drive him around the land, and then push him around, and pretty soon they're driven to Madonai, where they're put into prison, and they stay there until they're delivered by Ammon. And as soon as they're delivered by Ammon, then though they don't just say that's good enough, boy, we've really did our part. They know, they go right out there and they continue preaching. And why do they continue preaching? Because they're told to by the Spirit. And where do they go? It says in verse 16, they go whithersoever they were led by the Spirit of the Lord. Again, they didn't go where Ammon said, who was their mission president. They didn't do all of these. They didn't have this high structure and set someone here and someone there. They did everything by the Lord, and each man followed the Lord. And that's what Ammon taught each person, is go to the Lord and find out what he wants you to do. Now, the Lord's not going to, if everybody's following the Spirit, he's not going to tell everybody to go to the same house. But the Lord might say, I want 20 missionaries on this one block and only two to cover the entire rest of the subdivision, because that's where the work is. And the Lord can only direct that. But then, see, that wouldn't seem reasonable to man. No, let's just assign one man per subdivision and so on and so like that. They never think about following the Spirit. And again, the mark of doing the Lord's work and doing his true missionary work is that the Spirit will tell you where to go. And they have a lot of success, then, it says. And they go through there and they are able to find those that have been prepared by the Lord and are ready for the harvest. And so so that really ends all that they wanted to say about Ammon. Well, then it goes on, about Aaron. And so now it goes on to talk about Ammon. And it says that Ammon and Lamoni, they returned to Ishmael, which is where Lamoni lived, and went to his kingdom. And Lamoni caused that his people should build synagogues so that he could teach the people. Now some would say, oh, wait a minute, this sounds like forced religion. No, we have to see what he taught them. He taught them about freedom and liberty. And he taught them that they were a free people. So he had to explain this to them, and he had to explain them what it means to be free, and the idea of personal freedom and how we treat others in that. And these people had never known that. For all the ages they had been under kings, they had no concept at all of freedom. And so he taught them that. And that was the government. That was his purpose. He was the governor of the land. So he taught them about freedom, and then he made them a free people. Also, though, this was part of religion to them, because freedom is the basis of the war in heaven. It is the basis with which we progress. It's the basis with which we're given all the principles of the Lord. And if we don't understand that basis, then we're not going to we can't understand the work of the Lord. We can't understand why he's given commandments. We can't understand anything to do with the gospel, because at the base of the gospel is freedom. That it's built upon freedom. Its foundation is freedom, and yet again, we don't, today, we don't even study freedom in the churches. We don't think it has any importance. We think it, it's something else. Even when we think of Christ and the Lord, we think of them being our king in the sense that they're not our protector and provider and a teacher. We think of them as being that they dominate through their great power, and they have this great power that tells everyone to do. But in our lives, we know they don't do that. That's not how they reign, and they reign and they rule for all eternity based on freedom. We don't study this freedom. Well, we're going to watch now in this Book of Mormon how all of a sudden we're going to begin to find out that that is an important thing. In fact, we're going to hear about freedom now a lot in the Book of Mormon. So that's what he taught the people. And then after he had taught them that, is his responsibility as the leader, then the leader of government, then Ammon then takes over and he begins to teach the people of the Lord and teaches them more about Jesus Christ. And then they are told that they have the free choice to believe or not. They're not forced to go to these synagogues, and the people do become a righteous people.